This is Dr. Letitia Wright, and I'm here for IDCDating.com. We're talking with Todd Krieger from the Todd Krieger Center of Successful Relationships, and we're going to talk about, well, how to keep our relationships successful. Let me tell you about Todd. Todd is a consultant, a coach, a psychotherapist, and a speaker who has been in practice for over 24 years. His background, training, and continued work in marriage therapy with a specialty in sex therapy has been a unique and great complement to his training and work as a business and life coach. He's helped thousands of individuals, whether they're in home or in the workplace, learn how to bring out the best in others. Likewise, he is extremely successful at bringing the best of his clients. I had to get that out. He also consults with organizations that are either in crisis or underachieving due to work conflict and lack of teamwork or ineffective leadership. In addition, he works with forward-thinking organizations that may already be successful and want to run optimally with high morale, excellent teamwork, and inspiring leadership. Through his work, as well as his personal successes and failures, he has come to the conclusion that it all comes down to the moment-by-moment choice. I am going to be creative or passive in a situation or interaction, and he believes that you should bring out the best in others and bring out the best in yourself. Thanks for being on the call, Todd.
Thank you. Sure, you will.
Now, we're talking about relationships at IDCDating.com, and we're talking to all these different people about how to have the best relationship, and I really like your approach about bringing out the best in someone else. So when we're first getting to know each other, what's the best way to do that?
You know, the first way to do that is to just be yourself. A lot of times we've all been trained to put on a certain presentation, but it doesn't have to be that stressful. The best thing is just to be who you are, and the most important thing is to not be so focused on how I come across to you and how I impress you. It's more about how I come across, do I accept you? Do you feel accepted by me? We tend to be so focused on our own worries about, am I going to come off in a good way? But oftentimes the real issue is, do you feel comfortable around me?
So give us an example when you were first meeting someone face-to-face.
Let's say you're at a situation where you're attracted to somebody, the opposite sex, and typically when that happens, maybe we get a little nervous or we hold back. If then we could remember that, you know, the most important thing is not so much is that person going to like me, but am I going to come off as liking them? It makes it a little easier. We don't feel like we're performing.
Okay. Now, as relationships develop, when we're first starting to have a relationship and maybe some challenges come up, what's a way to really look at that if we intend to overcome them as opposed to, well, now this is problems and we want to abandon the relationship?
I always say to people that the best mindset is to know that there will be problems. That's inevitable. And that there isn't going to be a situation where there isn't problems. But the key really always has to do with the big C word, communication. And we need to learn to communicate about these challenges. And typically the couples that do well and thrive are those that, it's not those that don't have problems. It's those that can be honest and talk about whatever it is that's irritating them or frustrating them or disappointing them.
Okay, let's go right there. Let's talk about some communication techniques. Most of us don't really know good techniques. We just follow what our family does.
That's true.
But what are some good basic principles in terms of communication?
Well, what you said is so true that we really haven't learned it from our family. So I always tell people when you're doing couples stuff, when you're communicating, you have to think like a maverick. You're a pioneer. You're foraging new ground. And so we do have to be, this is what I mean by being creative, like you had said in my introduction. Now, we really need to, the first thing is to realize that my perspective and your perspective can both be right at the same time, even if they're totally different.
That's a hard concept to accept.
very difficult, because, you know, from my point of view, I'm right and you're wrong. But, of course, the problem is, from your point of view, you're right and I'm wrong. So what do we do about that? And I always say to couples that you have to change your conjunction from or to and. It's not you or me. It's you and me. It's difficult for our egos. We don't like to share being right.
mm-hmm.
So that's the first rule is to allow, to agree to disagree.
Okay.
And that's the first step. And then from that standpoint, then the most important thing I tell people is the way people usually communicate, and it's usually not healthy, is I say we do a two-step. You say your thing, I say mine. So da 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 da. They talk back and forth to each other, and talk at each other. And I say I like you guys to try to go from a two-step to a three-step, whereas it's more like a waltz where you say what you say, and if you talk first, it's your turn, and your turn doesn't end until you get the subjective experience that I heard you. So that's when your turn ends. And so if you talk, even if I want to say something, because typically when somebody says something to me, I'm already thinking about what I want to say and then I'm going to say it back. But in an emotionally charged situation, it's better to show some self-discipline and let the other person know, okay, I'm with you. What are you? Okay, and you need to learn to stay with what the other person's saying. Okay, you're angry at me or you're disappointed. Okay, tell me more about that. Not easy to do, but it's the only way it works. Then when the person feels like, God, you really heard me, now I can tell you what I think and what I feel.
Okay. So make sure that you get it all out. The other person takes time to make sure that they hear you, and then they give you the feedback, which is whatever makes that person feel comfortable. They can't just say, I heard you.
Right. You have to be sincere. You actually, it's not just the words. It's actually the intention to, I'm going to hear you, even if I want to blurt something out, it's not my turn.
Okay.
It does take self-discipline.
That does.
Yeah.
I'm out of control.
I'm not saying I do that myself all the time. I'm trying.
So what's our next step?
So at that point, if it's, again, an emotionally charged situation, and I have now listened to you, and what's really like the gold medal is to say to somebody, is that everything? Is there anything more I need to know? And that's really challenging when I really, inside, I want to blurt something out and tell you why I'm right and you're wrong, and instead I'm asking for more information. It's like you want to take the standpoint of as if I'm a journalist and I'm interviewing you, and it's all about you right now.
Okay.
It's not about the journalist.
Okay.
So you want to, that's the best way to do it, and of course it's challenging, but the rewards are there, because once that person feels like they heard you, or you heard them, I should say, then there's a much better chance that they'll actually listen to you.
Okay, so really work hard to create that control.
Right, right. That's right. As I say that there's a certain technique, I call it the disarming technique. And the disarming technique is find the truth in what the other person is saying, even if it seems mostly untrue or unfair.
Okay, so sometimes we'll have to dig through and say, okay, we feel like this and this is unfair, but here's a piece that's true, and
right.
If we can acknowledge that piece to the other person,
yes,
that will help them feel heard.
Yes.
Okay. I think I might be able to get the hang of this. Now, relationships are, people are just looking everywhere for relationships. And online dating, of course, is a brand new frontier. Is it really that much different from just regular dating? Or?
Well, yes and no. I mean, the yes part of it is that, and this is where, as I've been going on, I've been more encouraging people to do that, whereas in the beginning I was always resisting it for some reason. But I think the good thing about it is that when you're doing online dating, you're really looking for people that are looking. So it does take away a lot of the, it cuts through a lot of the people that are just hanging around in bars or wherever else people meet where they're not really interested, it's not the right situation. So that's the good thing, and that's what makes it different. What makes it similar is you still have the same, you know, we typically have the same anxieties, fears, the decisions we need to make, and how much do I share, how much do I not share in the beginning. Those kinds of things are all still the same.
Okay. You know. Let's talk about sharing and some limits. What's a good way for us to figure out what the boundaries are? Because I know women have that challenge a lot. We share, you know, our first puppy, and and that can be sort of a boring part of the conversation because the person's not really, I guess, vested in you yet.
I think that, I mean, there's probably no any hard and set rules. I think sometimes what we have to first do is again, think of that word and. I don't want to take over the conversation. I need to talk about me, but I also want to find out about you. So to try to keep it balanced is a good thing. And then the other thing is oftentimes we just need to use our own, I guess, gut feeling about things. There are certain people that it may feel right to express a lot to. The problem is when people are just nervous and they just talk and talk and talk, and then it may not be tuning into, well, you know, I'm not sure if the other person is ready for this. I guess the most important thing is to relax and try to stay as calm as possible to keep your intuition open so you can listen to it.
And really see that person's reaction and
yes.
try to gauge yourself. And
yes.
That's great. Now let's talk about multicultural relationships. You counsel a lot of different people. Do you see a different set of problems for a multicultural relationship versus same race? Or?
Well, I see there's differences and that there's some similarities. The difference is, of course, they have one more set of differences than other people have, all that stuff. But now it's different cultural rules and norms, and different cultures have different ways they've communicated to each other, different things that were acceptable and not acceptable. So that's really what's different, and it does need to be recognized that that's another hurdle to overcome. But at the same time, we're all different, and it still comes down to that C word, communication.
Yeah, okay.
It still does that. So as long as people are communicating, then they it's just one more set of differences they need to work with and resolve and you know, find creative ways to raise the children and, you know, how should we raise the children? You know, there's a lot of challenges when it comes to that, but it's, you know, not necessarily. It all can be overcome with good communication.
Okay, everything can be overcome with good communication.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about being creative versus passive in a relationship, and that's really a different way of thinking and talking about it. Let's talk about that a little bit.
That's basically like the main message I want to get out to the world, and that is that whereas we can be very creative in different areas of our life, you know, whether it's music, art, or even our work. When it comes to relationships, we tend to, especially after the honeymoon period's over of a relationship, we tend to get relatively passive. We react to people as if, you know, we let them define how we behave. So if they treat us well, we treat them well. If they treat us badly, we may treat them badly back. And what I say
that's
is
that's pretty much the rule.
Eye for an eye. Eye for an eye. I mean, the golden rule is treat others the way you want to be treated. And that golden rule is more easily said than done. But it's basically, I'm going to treat you well no matter how you treat me. And then then maybe the recovery, the healing starts with me. And also, how I think of you and how I treat you is going to affect what I bring out of you. So if you're treating me poorly, I shouldn't accept abuse, but at the same time, how I respond to that will actually lead to, am I going to bring up more of the same that I don't want or more of what I do want? For example, if my partner's in a bad mood and treating me badly, I may have to remember, well, you know, yesterday she treated me really well, and she was really sweet. How would I talk to her if she was talking to me like that? How would I look at her? Now, my eyes might soften, and she might see my eyes soften, because I'm thinking about yesterday, and her seeing my eyes soften might lead her to somehow remember, oh, you know, I like this guy, and treat me well. So that's what I mean. You know, being creative is not just going with whatever I'm feeling at the moment, but trying to find that place inside of me that can say, okay, what can I say? You know, honesty isn't always about saying whatever's on my mind. It is, but it's also about what can I say and how can I deal with this situation so that I could get the results that I want.
Okay, so it's not just bare, harsh honesty, but I guess figuring out how to communicate clearly, but yet, you know, keeping that other person in mind, because a lot of people, they want to be honesty, and they're very, they use their honesty as a blunt instrument.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, there's time, for example, if my partner's really angry at me and I just react with anger back, I mean, so what am I going to get back from that? More her anger. If I want more of her anger, I should do that.
Okay.
But if I want something else, I may need to notice what I'm feeling and acknowledge it, and I might share it, but at some point I'll say to her maybe something like, God, you know, the way you're treating me, you're obviously in pain. You know, anything, you know, I'm here to listen. Don't have to yell, but I do want to listen to you. I do care about you. I do love you. I mean, now that person softened. She's putty in my hands, and now I'm going to get what I want. I say, you know, living with a little bit of like x-ray vision, realizing that there's that behavior that you may not want, but it's coming from some deeper thing inside of that person. I mean, if I have a couple that can get that, they're graduating.
They're graduating, and they're probably going to be able to work through every single issue that comes to them.
Yes, yes.
So it's really, it's not as hard to deal with relationship issues as people think. I mean, it's not totally on the emotions then.
It isn't. It's really about doing things a new way and realizing that I could find something inside of myself, even if it's not the part of me that wants to just react, that could bring out more of what I want, and we could begin shifting. I think this is new. I think our ancestors all reacted passively. It's not their fault. You know, just think it's time has come to take more responsibility for, you know, making some changes.
Okay. Well, Todd Krieger can be reached at toddkrieger.com, toddkrieger. And it is the Todd Krieger Center for Successful Relationships. Any last words before we go?
I just want to say that having a good relationship is possible, and be encouraged to go out there, and when we're trying to meet new people, the key is to remember that it's not a performance. It's really about connecting.
Thank you so much. This is Dr. Letitia Wright for IDCDating.com, creating multicultural relationships every day. Remember, ignoring one's conscience is neither safe nor right, and I'll see you next time.